Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for March 20th, 2023. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is episode number 381. So today I've arranged for another special option professor market outlook episode. So you should be seeing his screen right now, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David, and welcome, everybody. This is the Option Professor. Before we get started, remember, I'm just going to be sharing my opinions and my views here. I'm not giving advice to anybody. Obviously, I don't know any of you personally, so I'm not going to be able to give advice. And so that's for your brokerage firm to do because they know suitability and your risk tolerance. But I will be sharing my views and my opinions. I've been doing this for over 40 years. So obviously, I got quite a bit of knowledge on options and all the different markets. So I'll share that with you. In my opinion, we've been very, very accurate with our opinions. So I think it's been very helpful for people to listen in on us. With regards to today, I'm going to try to cover the stock market. The rates market, that would be both interest rates and the U.S. dollar. I'm going to try to cover these energy markets. I'm going to try to cover these metals markets, food and fertilizer, and finally end up with crypto. And on the stocks, I'll also be talking about the international picture, which has really been a big part of the first part of the year here. Hard to believe it's only the first quarter ending. It feels like we've had four quarters in one quarter, the way this market's been and the news has been hitting. Before we get started, just my brief opinion on the bank stuff. Obviously, I don't think the banking system is in any big trouble. I think there was a couple of issues and they're going to put it out, and they've already put them out pretty well. I think running on the banks would be pretty silly, so I don't bet on silly. And to me, it looks like a situation that is going to work out okay, because it's not a systemic problem. It's pretty much identifiable to certain banks. My personal opinion and view is that bank up in Silicon Valley stinks a little bit from the standpoint of all these big venture capitalists. These are extremely wealthy people, generally speaking, and the companies are very wealthy with all kinds of cash. They probably were trying to get money out that was beyond the means of the bank. So the easiest way for them to do that was to cause this little rumor about a run, get the stock to go in the toilet. And then who comes to the rescue? Other banks and the Fed. They've got plenty of money. And now these guys can go in and get their deposits out. That's the way I read it, because I've been doing this for 40 years. And again, I generally am more cynical on when I see these things than the world being totally round. So I think, to be honest, that's kind of the thing going on. And then, of course, these people that have other risky assets and stuff like that, and their balance sheets stink, you know, again, people want to get the money out of there. The more rumors you get, the more help these banks get, the more help they get, the more money you're going to get out of them. So again, there seems to be a little bit of a situation where people who want liquidity out of their banks and can't get it are trying to obviously hopefully get a situation that causes a panic on that bank, which brings the Fed and other money in that provides liquidity so they can get their money out. That's how I see it. At any rate, there are other problems out there in the banking system that could come to fore. But again, private equity is one of them because it's not transparent. But in private equity, you can't get your money out, generally speaking, anytime you want. So that's not going to be a run on private equity, I don't think. Last thing would be commercial real estate. Obviously, nobody's going back into those buildings at the speed that they left them. So obviously, there's some vacancy problems and some valuation problems. They're not exactly the most transparent thing in the world. So if there was another shoe to drop down the road, I would think commercial real estate might be one to keep an eye on. But at any rate, you know, I am from the belief that these things are going to work out. As far as the Fed on Wednesday, really, it's going to be dependent on what's going on Wednesday. But, you know, the ECB went and did 50 points and they said to themselves, listen, you got a banking crisis at Credit Suisse. Go take care of it. We're not going to stop monetary policy because you guys have a lousy bank, which has been a lousy bank for 10 years. Not new news. So, again, will the Fed do something on Wednesday? I would imagine they should go 25 points to bring at least the Fed funds up to 4.75. You know, the inflation rate is at 6%. You are still way under the inflation rate with Fed funds. And you're not going to kill inflation with that relationship, I don't think, unless there's some kind of a bank collapse and everybody just leaves the market. Second thing is the 10-year note, nominal yield. Nominal yield's under 4%. Inflation's at 6%. you know, it's very difficult to bring inflation down when your interest rates and your Fed funds is way under the inflation rate. So I would imagine they're going to do 25 unless obviously the markets were at 3,600 or something like that on S&P. And then, of course, all bets would be off. But I don't know that that's going to be happening because, again, some of these things are going to settle down. And this talk on TV about bank failures, when we're going to get a bank failure, it's probably not going to be on TV. You know, it's going to be one of those things you don't hear about. At any rate, my view is looking for 25 on Wednesday. My view is the banking quote unquote crisis is limited and will be handled. And I don't think the Fed is going to ditch monetary policy over what really is, when you total up the assets in these banks, a very small part of the banking system. Okay, so that's my view. And let's see what the market's view is, which is more important. Okay, with the S&P, I'm going to review what we've been telling people so you get an idea of where my head's been and then also where I think we could be going. Okay, so we got sell signals on the S&P at 4208. You can see on this chart where we got it, and it's right there where the green line was. So that happened really right there on the day that it happened. And it hit 4208. That was the moving average, and we thought it would stop there, and it certainly has. Now, the rising average comes in at 3946. So it's very constructive now that we're back above 3946. And then again, getting back above 3966. These are important numbers, right? So if you want to be bullish, you want to keep the market above 66 and 46. And then, of course, if you take out 4200, then you're off to the races a bit. Our feeling is that if the Fed is going to be successful with slowing demand, slowing the inflation, and slowing things down, then earnings are going to get whacked in the next 6 months. Sometime in the next 6 months, we think it could break 3800 and come down to the purple line in some kind of a repricing. How do you reprice things? You do it very simply. The earnings on the S&P 500 is expected to be at $2.25. Say it comes in only at $2. That's a 10% drop in earnings. Is that possible? I think it's very possible. So if you have $2 of earnings and your PE ratio goes to 16, because it's much more of a normal rate in this kind of environment than the 18 it's trading at, basically you'd be at 3,200. You see that purple line? It's at around 3,000. So maybe in a few months, it jumps up towards 3,200. That is something that I think could very well happen. I would be suggesting people make a plan for that, which would mean either, you know, have cash on the sideline for that type of a bargain, or do some hedging or whatever. Okay, so we got the first sell signal at 4208, and we got the second one. I'm going to throw the RSI on this thing so you can see. RSI, let's put that up there. And because that is a big thing for us as well. We like the moving averages because they're based on the price, not people's opinions. And we like RSI to give us an idea of momentum or dying momentum. So again, we'll show you something else here. When we went up to the area of 4,000 recently, you see the RSI here hit about, let me see here. Yeah, the RSI, when we had our first move up towards 4080, oh, I guess we're beyond that month now. Yeah, the time's gone by here. Okay, so anyway, when we went up here towards 4080, the RSI jumped up towards about 75 or something. And then the next rally towards 4080 came in and it fell, and it, the RSI was lower. So we got the sell signal at 4080 area, 4100. We got a sell signal at 4200. One was based on hitting the moving average on the 20 year, and the other one was based on hitting the moving average here, but also a dying RSI on the rally, which is indicative to us of exhaustion. Okay, so basically, where are we right now? Here's where we are again right now. We think as long as it stays above 3946 and 3966, it's in a good shape, and the RSI is above 50, so it's hanging on. Next, we look at it at a five-year basis. Again, all the numbers come in right there at where? Let's see. 3956, 3951. You see this 3958. I mean, this is a neighborhood at 3940, 3960, where if it holds, you know, we're going to be okay. If it starts breaking back underneath that, you know, then look, you got the abyss underneath 3800, right? So be careful of that. On the 1 year, again, struggling to get back above it. The red line's pointing down, never a good thing. It comes in at 3981. We're trading under 3981, so that's not a good thing. Today's high was 40.09. You got resistance at 40.25. A couple of resistance points there. So getting above the 4,000 mark, and particularly above 40.25, would be very helpful as well right now. So you got some parameters to work with. Again, 40.25, 40.50, 40.25, 40.50 on the upside, and on the downside, getting under the 39.40, 39.60 area, again, wouldn't be very good. Let's look at the 1 month if you're doing day trading, short-term trading, okay? Right now, we got the turn up here a little bit, and so a little bit of a buy signal around the 350, 46 area, 346 area, and it's gotten above the purple here, which is nice. That's at 39.71. So if you want to keep it on a short leash, you certainly wouldn't like it to stay above 39.71 and see if, in fact, we can keep going. On a one-day basis, do we roll over here a little bit? Yeah, we rolled over and then we came back up. So right now, it's trying to go up from the 39.66 area if you're short-term day trading. And then basically, let's see what the RSI looks like. That high point has a 58 on the RSI. This high point has 60. So there's no big divergence. Was there a divergence here? RSI was 70. Next time up, the RSI was 63. So you had a bit of a divergence. When you get a divergence, sometimes you get a what? A fade. So that wasn't such a bad signal. 39.90 down towards the purple line, 39.55. Not too shabby. And that happened today. So that was a pretty good one for today. Obviously, you've had a nice up move today and a little down move. Now we're back on the upside. We'll have to see how things pan out. Again, staying above 39.71, as we said, 39.65, 39.55. Those are key numbers, again, to stay above right now. So right now it looks pretty constructive. All right, let's look at QQQ, because that's where the NASDAQ is. And we did suggest to people in December that we got to switch from value into growth. And for those of you who get together with us after the show, we'll explain where you can keep track of that, whether growth or value is predominant. And in December, we switched. So the bottom line is on the QQQ, again, you got the red line pointing down. You definitely want it to stay above that one, which is 292. Big support area for 292. You don't want it starting to break underneath that. If all heck breaks loose on the downside, again, there is a downside potential towards the purple. Okay, on the upside again, getting above the blue line would be lovely. And that is coming in at 312. So I think 312, 328, obviously are big numbers. 312 would be a heck of a nice close if we ever get above that. And again, closing back under 292 would be a real no-no. All right, on the 5-year, again, it is turning up, so it is kind of looking constructive. There's your numbers there. You got some 285 support back at the 290, 293. So you can see there's clusters, and those clusters are kind of like a traffic jam that get resolved. So we'll have to see. On the RSI, 54 versus 55, so nothing big there. So again, and it is rising. So it is rising. And right now, 293, 292, those are the numbers you'd want it to stay above. And certainly 280. Looking at the 1 year here, again, pretty much the same numbers, right? 292, ballpark, right? 290, big numbers. So stay above those numbers, and it could be constructive. Get above 312, and you're probably going somewhere. Okay, on the 1 month here, or for the short-term traders, you got a nice little buy when the red line turns up at 292, and it got violated here, but notice that it has not turned down. So the violations are really more important when they actually turn it down. You see, it violated here, was not turned down, rallied back up, then it rolled over. When it rolled over and got back underneath, that's when you got your better signal. So again, the direction of the red line is very important. Not so much always just the violation of it. You know, again, you'll notice, as I notice, if the market's going to go decently up, the red line's going to go up. If the red line, if the market's going to go down decently, in other words, an amount that's pretty good, you're talking about it pointing down. So right now, this thing's pointing still up, so I would not be negative on it at all until A, it probably took out 302, and B, that red line started to point down. That's on a short-term basis. On the day graph, what's it look like? Yeah, it looks like it's trying to get back on the bicycle. That's a pretty lazy red line, though. So if it doesn't hold and it starts breaking under 303, that wouldn't be any good. So for short-term trading, definitely want to stay above 303, 303.80, something like that. Let's look at some of the big movers, because, you know, that ChatGPT has got everybody excited. So let's look at some of those that have had big runs and see if you should be parking some of that money. NVIDIA, NVDA. Let's look at some of these, see if we can help you figure those out. Okay, if we look at the 20-year graph on NVIDIA, I always like to look at the long-term and the short-term to get a full perspective. Okay, so let's just see if Fibonacci is coming into play here. The high here was 346. Let's do rough math, call it 350. And then let's go with the low point here, which was 110. Let's be rough math again. Okay, so you're at 240 points. 61% of that is 146. 146 plus the 110, right? What do you get? 146 plus 110, you're at 256. You're in the neighborhood right now. So if this is just a Fibonacci bounce back, you got to be careful in this neighborhood to see if it's going to hold or not. Now let's see if the short term is giving us any other signals here. Let's look at the 1 month and see if there's any signal coming up. See, still looking good, but you know, you'd want to be more concerned if that red line starts pointing down and you can't hold this Fibonacci retracement that I just showed you. Okay, on a 5-day basis, you know, the red line's a little bit dodgy, but it's still okay. Looks to me like if you want to be concerned about NVIDIA running out of speed here in this 260 neighborhood, you'd want to see some price confirmation of that. The first sign on this thing would be breaking under 256. If you go to the monthly, you probably want to get under 250 and get that red line pointing down. And if you look at the yearly, again, you'd have to get under 240 and get that red line pointing down to see if this thing is over or not. You do have a high point there surrounded by lower highs. So people who, you know, want to use that as an indicator, they'd be selling and getting out on a move above the high, which is what? 264. So 264 is your line in the sand if you are going to use that formation to trade against, which sometimes is not a bad thing to do. You can see here it hit a high point with lower highs in December, and it went from 187 all the way down to 130. You had a high point here surrounded by lower highs, and it went from 170 down to 151. So sometimes this formation will give you a tiny drop, and then sometimes it could be more significant. Again, these guys are the front runner with all this stuff they're talking about as far as their need for their parts and stuff like that. So that's why, you know, this thing has really gone through the roof because of the fever that's going on. Still looks like there's a pretty good size gap here, though, between 210 and 220. And I don't know if that's going to be an attractor. Looks like it should have plenty of support at 240 if it's still good, even if it did pull back. So I'd be looking at 240 as a good support, and I would be looking at, I'd be looking at 264 as a potential high point. So let's see how they take it home today. It'll be interesting. You know, if these yields go back up, we'll get into that in a minute, that could be negative for this entire growth/tech sector. So be careful. Let's look at the other ones that have been going through the roof on it. AMD, I think, has been having a pretty good time. Let's see what's going on there. Same formation, right? You got a high surrounded by lower highs. So right now, you know, until we take out that high point, which is right now at about $97, this thing could obviously still pull back. It is a little bit farther away from the averages. So reversion to the mean would mean that you top out here at 97 and you pull back towards 85. Is there any evidence of that on the daily? Not yet. So similar to, I mean, they're running in a tandem. So, you know, NVIDIA and these guys have very similar chart formation. So they've lost a little altitude. They have a formation that if you're bullish, you'd want to be a little concerned about, a high surrounded by lower highs, but there's no evidence of a rollover yet, other than obviously the price has rolled over. Let's see if it's rolled over on a day graph. Yeah, I see. There's no evidence of a big thing there. So keep an eye on those numbers. What we say, 265 or something, 264 on NVIDIA and about 97 on this thing, something like that. You know, so be looking at those. Let's look at Micron. I think that's been doing all right. Let's just see. The other one is Adobe. I'll get to that in a second. Micron. Okay, go to a 20-year graph. What do you got? Again, still predominantly holding down. But, you know, it is, like I say, this is a 20-year graph, and the purple line is a longer-term moving average. And, it, you know, it's been holding that for a long time. It only violated it here during the bull side. So, you know, getting anywhere near the purple line has been a good time to buy. It certainly was recently a good time to buy. So $45 would be your, in my view, a longer-term place. I don't like the RSI under 50 right now. And I don't like the red line pointing down. So you got two things I don't like about it right now. The red line pointing down, so I'd love to see it above 60. And then I'd really love to see it above 65.70. And then I think it would open the door to all those higher prices. Otherwise, you know, if rates go back up because inflation stays high and they can't keep rates low, and they're not going to keep them low just because a couple of banks had some problems, you know, and the banking thing is not pervasive. You know, they're going to continue like Europe is fighting inflation with the monetary policy, and then they will do putting out fires as they come up, which I think is what Europe basically said. You know, when the fires come up, we'll put them out, but we are going to fight this inflation because their inflation's actually, I think, even worse than ours. Okay, so there's Micron, and then like I say, on a 1 year basis. Again, still has a lot of resistance above. Red line's not really turning up very much. So it's still got wood to chop. Again, getting above 60 and 55, 57.50, those would be good numbers to get above if you want to go anywhere. Adobe. And on Adobe, on a 20-year basis, let's see. Yeah, see, I want to tell you, you know, this is why we use these averages. You know, was that a time to buy it right against the line? Absolutely. Now the question is this a pullback and getting ready to go? Well, let's just see if it was a Fibonacci pullback and we can use that. The low here is 275. The high looks like 400. 400 minus 275 gives you $125, 61%, rough math, 76. So 400 minus 76 should give you about 325. And we went down to the lows here. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do that math again. Yeah, no, that's the math. And the low should have been 325. And where was the low? 318. So it's pretty close. And now it's back going a little bit. The red line is still pointing down. So you certainly would like it to close above 350, about 360. Yeah. So keep it above 360, and it's above that now, so that's good. So keep it above 360, and that'd be helpful. Again, RSI is still under 50 in longer term. Shorter term, obviously, the thing turned up and went nice on the upside. So, you know, right now, 340, 350, important numbers. The blue line comes in at 355. So anywhere between 340 and 355, if it can stay above that, that would be excellent. And the RSI is at 59. Let me tell you something about RSI. It's at 59. If this thing makes new highs now and the RSI starts getting through 60, sometimes that is a time when you'll get acceleration to the upside. So very interesting to see, because there are a few gaps here. One just got filled. The one that was had a low point of 363, it got filled here today. So that gap is filled. Looks like another little gap here up there, maybe right around the 375 area. And then you got a gap here, which is like an island gap. And that comes in at right around 387. So you got a few gaps that it might go and get. And if the RSI starts breaking through 60, it very well may pop up and fill those gaps. So, you know, I wouldn't step in front of it right now. There's no real evidence of it doing anything but going up right this second. Let's just see here. You had high points of 63. Yeah. So there's no divergence here to worry about. So again, gives you a little bit of an idea of where they could be going. And so that gives you some idea on Adobe. Okay, so again, we're still favoring growth over the value until we get a switch. The last time we got a switch was December, so it doesn't switch every day. And it's certainly been a good place to park in growth over value since December. But last time we got one, I think it switched in October and or August, September, something like that. It was only a 2 or 3 month deal, and it switched right back to value. This one's going a little bit longer, but if, you know, if the rates do really go up and they start hitting growth, then that could switch back to value, but that's not the case right now. If you read our newsletter, you know, you'll be able to get an update on that. All right, so there you go. You got your tech and you got your S&P. Let's give you the small caps, which is your Russell. Small caps had a big move. The one I look at on small caps, I'll show you in a minute here. We'll go to Russell first. Okay, 20-year on Russell. Again, getting this thing above 190 is a key. The red line's still pointing down. So we'd love to see this thing get above 190. If you do get above 190, again, that may get some mojo going. And then above 200, you would be able to say that you have a legitimate breakout going on the upside. Right now, being underneath the red line, which comes in at 181, that's not good. So first step, let's get above 181 and try to get that red line pointing up. On a five-year graph, again, you see all these resistance lines above. So here, where do they come in? 180, 182, 185. A lot of congestion between 180 and 185. Okay. And then, of course, you got some 190. So, you know, it would be more helpful to see if we can get above those. Now, you do have a low surrounded by higher lows right now. So if you are taking a shot down here, I certainly wouldn't want the 170. What number is that? Low 170 area getting taken out. That would be not good. So something to defend down there. Will we get a reversion to the mean? Well, the mean's way up here at 185, so they could get a reversion to the mean. So let's see how things go. And the RSI is building. You had a low on RSI of 26, right? Then you made a lower low down here, and it was 36. That's a divergence. Okay, that's indicating, you know, 36, and then... Yeah. No, there's not that much of a divergence. Scratch that. No, there's no divergence. No help there. There's a little bit here, it looked like, where we had 26 and now it's up to 36. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that is a divergence. I'm sorry. It's early morning, I guess. So that's another reason why you could pop back up. And you got a definite 170 zone of support. So it may have a throwback. It may have a throwback on a monthly. You got to keep it above this 173, and you certainly would like to get a little more strength. You got all these guys above here as resistance, but that doesn't mean we couldn't pop a little bit. And this one that I've been watching, VBK, which is the Vanguard small cap, that I like that thing to stay above 200, 210. Yeah, so I like this 200 to 205 area, very important. You can see that, right? 200, 2. So we want to stay above 200, 204. And if it can do that, maybe it can go back up again. So check that out. Had a big run, but obviously it gave up the goose once things got a little bit dicey out there last week. So again, small caps are supposed to benefit possibly, in this environment. So keep an eye on that. All right, so there you go. And then let's go over to some of this other stuff so you can get an idea. We're going to jump over to interest rates. I'm going to try to give you a full menu of all the stuff I'm watching, because obviously after 40 years, I can watch them all pretty quickly. All right, this is the 10-year note, and we got this one nailed to the wall. I'll show you how. Okay, you see this thing here? This is called, and this is a one-month graph. You see, this is called an island key reversal, right? This is an island because it's up there by itself. You can see even better on the 1 year, but that's pretty clear too, because this tells you where your sell signal came in. That means this told you yields would be rising. Excuse me, falling. Yields would be falling because this thing goes from 404 to 409. So if rates on the 10-year do get above 410, that means the higher interest rate regime is definitely still in force. Right now, the higher interest rate regime is not in force. But what I'm saying to myself is this: inflation's at 6%. The core inflation is rising. The Fed is at 4.5% on Fed funds. If they go up a quarter on Wednesday, they're at 4.75. That's still way underneath the inflation rate. And the 10-year note, this thing is way underneath the inflation rate. And I have some graphs that go back a long ways that says when they try to get inflation under control, the nominal yield and the real yield tend to be above the inflation rate. And we don't have that happening at all. Ergo, that's why people are saying there's a lot more work to be done. Okay. So anyway, this thing is trying to turn. Now, again, this thing was tanking because of everyone was yelling on CNN and Fox News, et cetera, you know, bank run, your money's not safe, buy gold, buy Bitcoin, you know, so that nonsense could what? That could peter out. And if it does peter out, that like it is now, these yields can go back up. If it doesn't peter out and it becomes a full-blown bank run and everything like that, of course, these yields could drop quite a bit. And I'll show you where they could drop. You see, they're holding on for dear life at around 335. You see, holding on for dear life. But if this thing has a big event and there's another big run into money market, then you're going to be looking at possibly 250 on this thing. And that's going to be a pretty big air pocket. Right now, don't forget, these lines are still pointing up. So this, if the yields do drop, you know, they may be only dropping temporarily because this is a uptrending moving average. Okay. So even if you hit an air pocket, again, that doesn't mean higher rates are off the table for good by any means, because the trend on this stiff is still rising. And this purple line is rising, and that doesn't turn up and down that often, as you can see. And then the blue line certainly is pointing up. So, but you've got a big pocket here that rates could yields could really drop if there's an event. And again, I don't think there will be an event, but you know, things happen, right? Okay, so there's your story on interest rates. If they hold this 335 low and everybody who jumped into bonds and jumped into fixed income because of this bank crisis, you know, they may find out that that was not such a good move if the bank crisis goes away a bit and the Fed hikes and the inflation reports and the other economic reports like services continue to be hot, okay? Because getting back to 2% with the unemployment rate at 3.6, I don't think it's going to happen. So unless the jobless rate starts getting into the fours and maybe fives, I don't see how they're going to kill this inflation because people have money and they're getting raises. A lot of people are getting a lot more money than they ever have. And people like to spend their money. So basically, keep an eye on this big thing here at 335. And they may have gotten everybody very excited about lower yields, and the Fed is done prematurely because a lot of it's not based on inflation coming way down right now. That's all guessing. All we know is what we know. And what we know is 6% and a core that's rising. And all we know is that services inflation is still running 7.7%, which is, you know, pretty hot. Okay, so that's your story on the interest rates. Let's go over to the US dollar, dollar index. We've been very accurate on this as well. So we're going to show you. When we were up at 115, we were explaining to people that there's going to be a reversion to the mean. And you'll see what I mean in a second. See, when the market moving averages are down, and that's what's happening to Treasury notes, frankly. You know, if they do bust 335, they're reverting back to the mean, which is obviously what it does. So you got 115 reverting back to the mean, and it went down towards 100. When it hit 100, we said that is a, well, let's just see if it is an exact. We went from 90 to 115. So how much is that as far as a move? That's a 25. 61% off of that is 15. You take 115 minus 15, and what do you get? You got 100. Do you think it went pretty much close to the Fibonacci pullback? Look like it did. So that's where we were saying that the pullback in the dollar is over. And we thought it would rally towards the red line, which is 106. Can you see it has not been able to get above 106? So if it takes out 100, then you've got potential down towards 95 or 97 on the dollar index. If it starts breaking above 106, I would get out of the foreign currencies because it looks to me like the dollar would be making another assault at a higher level. RSI on the dollar is still above 50. So this is not a time to be totally negative on the dollar. And that area around 100 was fairly logical for it to stop, not only on the Fibonacci pullback, but also on these high points here. Okay, so there's your story on the US dollar from our vantage point. Remember, everything I talk about today is my opinion, free country. I'm sure you guys all have your own. Okay, so there's your interest rate deal. Let's look at that oil. Now, crude oil is another one we've been very good on, and I'll show you why. A lot of times we like to be from Missouri. You know what Missouri is? It's the show me state, right? And so basically, I was in the show me state with the crude because I've got two moving averages here. One's a green line that comes in at $83. And I say, if we can't get above $83, that means it can't go to 90 or 100. So when it has a rally up there, that's not a time to load up on oil stocks and then lose your money. I think it's a time to be careful and trim and cut back and get powder dry in case it pulls back to the very important support it's on now. Now you can see right now, these are very important numbers at $65. Okay. You do not want this thing starting to close in the 50s. Okay. If that happens, and with the RSI pointing down like this, there's a lot of people who are long oil stocks and they're already losing money on them and they're going to lose a lot more. Okay. So the bottom line is that I'd be very concerned about energy if it cannot hold this level. Conversely, if it can hold this level, this is a heck of a time to be, you know, taking a look at some of those discounted energy shares. So very important ledge here. And again, you know, probably it's not a bad idea to go to the 1 year and see if you can get some kind of a confirmation. Because again, look, this is very much of a reversion to the mean possibility here. What was the RSI on that drop? It was at 31. What's the RSI down here? 28. So you got no divergent helping you. You got no divergence helping you. So, you know, got to be careful. Again, the RSI is very weak down here. So again, it could be set up for reversal, but it has to show up on the tape, right? So right now, let's see what the monthly looks like. You know, getting above 66 is important, but it's got to stay there. And the RSI does seem like it might have a divergence down here. There's 37 there, and this low is what? 36. Well, not much of a divergence, but it's certainly a little bit flat at least, you know? And certainly if you want to look at a divergence, look at this low here, and that was at 33, right? And then this low here came in at 36. So there's a bit of a divergence here. That's why this thing, and it has a low surrounded by higher lows. So that's why you're getting a pop. Okay. So 64 is obviously a big number. And we know the moving averages on the longer term is right there at 66, 65. So maybe they just, you know, as they tend to do, they go through the numbers, get the stops, and maybe they're going to turn it around here. No evidence of that of any big amount right now. But, you know, this is an area where I would probably be waiting to see if I can get a confirmation. A close above the blue line that's rising, that comes in at 69.70. So getting above 70 would be my first tip that it might be turning up. Okay, so keep an eye on crude. Natural gas, that thing was one of the great train robberies for many people, because a lot of people last year were saying by October of last year, natural gas is going to be going through the roof, blah, blah, blah. And take a look what it did do rather than going through the roof. I wouldn't call that going through the roof. I would call that collapsing. So you got a low here at two, and that's our point. That two is your line in the sand. As long as it holds, there's a possibility for a throwback rally. That doesn't hold, who knows where it's going. But it does have a formation of a low surrounded by higher lows, and it's a situation where the RSI is right around 40. Again, if RSI breaks 40, then this thing could accelerate to the downside again and break through 2. So this 40 number on RSI is very important, and so is holding 2. And you can see it is a prime candidate for a reversion to the mean. If, in fact, you're looking at some stocks here, let's look at a natural gas stock and see if it looks any good. Okay, this is our favorite, and the reason it's our favorite is because it's been up trading since it's $5. Now, it's underneath the red line, so I'd love it to be above 30 bucks, because that would open the door to all these other wonderful numbers. So getting above 30 would be important to me. Holding the green line, which comes in at 23 bucks, is important. And of course, holding the blue, which is at 18, is important. So right now, again, this one would be the one I'd keep an eye on. Hold the 23, which would be nice. Get above 30, which would be better. And if it does drop, looking at 18 as a support zone would be the way I'd be looking at this thing. Do you want to look at the oil stocks real quick? We'll look at the big ETFs on them. Okay. Now here, let me see what we got here. You had a 59 and then it was followed by a 66. All right. So anyway, on XLE, which basically means Exxon and Chevron, right? You are rolling over a bit, but the red line is really not rolled over at all. So again, these companies can make money even with lower oil prices, and they pay great dividends, and they got all kinds of money to buy their own stock back, because apparently they're not looking for oil. They're just taking the money in that they can get. So the bottom line is that this stuff is still in an uptrend here. But right now, the fact that it is under the red line, which is at 82, is concerning. So getting back above 82 would be very helpful for this. If it's not above 82, I'd be concerned that a 70 number or even a 65 number could be in our future. So be careful. Get it back above 82. Let's see what it looks like on a one-year basis. You see 82 is the red line, so that's where I'm getting that number. And again, 84, 86 is important as well. You do have a low point here surrounded by higher lows. So if you want a get out point, it looks like 75 would be a number. And on a one-month basis, again, getting above these resistance zones of 82, 84 is important. Again, possibly trying to do a reversion to the mean. But right now, definitely the bloom has come off the rose a little bit on XLE. XOP, which I believe are your exploratory and producers. Let's see what that looks like. Okay, on a long-term basis, well, this thing doesn't go back that far. I guess it hasn't been around that long. Let's go 5 years on it, get some better data. Okay, on a five-year basis here, it is breaking down, but it's on the purple line. So this could be a place that it would hold. You know, this purple is very important. It's a very long-term average. So, you know, if you wanted to get bullish on this thing, you'd keep an eye on it right now. And you definitely want it to stay above 118. Again, the low recently is what? 117 and change. Excuse me, 114. So they goosed it a little bit underneath, right? Just like they did over here. They goosed it underneath a little bit, then they take it off. So again, you start closing above 118. That would be a very helpful thing for XOP. And where could you get a signal before then? Let's see. Again, reversion to the mean. We're up here at 130 to 135 on the averages. We're way the heck down here. So 114 is a pretty important low point. And then basically you got a gap there that's going to try to fill maybe. I would like this thing to stay above 118 if I was looking at this thing. And then you got OIH, which is your services. And of course, you know, the top 10 stocks in some of these things, Baker Hughes, Halliburton, you know, the kind of guy, Schlumberger. All right, well, this thing really fell out of bed. And again, you can see here, that once it busted underneath, well, let's look at the long-term graph on it so you get in better perspective. Yeah. Again, a lot of real estate on this thing. If it could get moving, 350 is obviously a line in the sand. The purple line is obviously controlling it, that it's still in a downtrend. 5 year. Yeah. Again, right on the purple. So, you know, if you wanted to play it, it just hit your number. It hit your number right there at 253 and it's bouncing. Get above what? The blue line, which is 270, 278. That would be very helpful. And then getting back above three. Again, there's a lot of real estate above if this thing could get popping. I don't like the red line pointing down. Certainly, if it gets above the red line of 308, that would be a good indication that it's going to pop too. So where are you? You're at support around the 250 number. You got some resistance coming in at 278, 300. And then you've got some resistance right above that at, like I say, 310, 300, 280. Those are your resistance zones. And if you want to take a shot at it again, you certainly want to stay above the 253 low that it recently made. Okay, so let's look at those metals because we know they went nuts. Let's see if they've gone nuts and they're going to sober up or if this thing is 3,000 on the gold or what's going on. Let's see. Okay, on the gold, I'll tell you exactly how we've been talking about it so you get an idea on how we feel. Okay, this was a rally up here. And the rally up here in July 2020, again, when it gets very far away from its moving averages, it tends to come back down toward it. So then we had another rally. And here we were telling people that there is a huge divergence and it's probably going to run out of gas. You see, because this rally here had an 83 RSI. You see that right in your box, 83. And this next high point had a 60. That is a huge divergence, and it is clearly telling you that this is a rally that's going to run out of steam. Did it run out of steam? Yes, it did. It ran out of $500 worth of steam. Okay. Now, again, it did hold the purple line. Now, again, recently we told people that it was going to have a pullback from the 1960 area to fill a gap. And let me see if I can get it where that gap is pretty obvious. Let me see here. Okay, well, this graph's not helping me very much. At any rate, the gap came in at about, oh, there it is right there. You see the gap right there? It's right at 1825 to 1835. So it filled that gap and it came into all these averages. So I was telling people that 1810 to 1790, can you see where I'm getting the numbers from? Let's see where I show you them now. Okay, they're all rising now. But they were 1790 and 1810. You see 1810, 1815, 1800, right? All that area is support. So obviously that would be the place to buy against support and then obviously ditch it if it breaks. So the bottom line is since that point, we had a big rally up here to what? To 2000 and how much today? 2003. Okay. We've come off as much as 30 bucks or 40 bucks off the high today. So where's the RSI now? It's back to that 60 number. What was the high point over here? 60. So that's why I was telling people this weekend that be careful on gold because it could go up or down 100 bucks because if it goes through this 60 RSI, you could accelerate to the upside very fast because when it gets above 60 on RSI, it can really hop. So you got to be careful of that. Conversely, again, if it can't get through 60 and the RSI is going to go back into the 50 area, then obviously a correction's in order. Let's see if we have any hint on any other graphs. Okay, here's the 1 year And then basically you can see this looks like the Eiffel Tower here right now. So that went to a high of 2014 today. That's on the April future. And so basically right now you've seen we've come off $25, and in fact it went to 1970, so it became like 40, $50 off the high. This is a reversion to the mean. This is a little overbought, right? You see the red line, everything down here, and where the heck up there. So you got to be careful a little bit. Choppy would be, unless it's going to, again, if it's going to accelerate through 2000, Lord knows where it could go, because Bitcoin's going nuts as well. And people don't sell something like gold. That means you have a no seller environment, and that's when you can go nuts in the price, right? Because when you have nobody selling and everybody wants to come in, the guys who are selling are going to raise the offer. They do it on stocks, they do it on gold as well. And again, central banks like China and everybody else, they've been loading up on this gold. Again, probably front running maybe some currency or like this bank situation, right? Okay, so let's see on the short run here, did we get any kind of a sell signal you could work with? Well, like I say, not really. Your high point here was 81, your next high point was 75. Again, that high point's 81 on RSI, this is 75. That's a divergence, that's why you get the pullback. Okay, but a pullback is that is all that is. And so that's why staying under 1785 area, if you want to be thinking that gold might go down, is very important. So use that number 1985 is kind of an important number. And then if it does pull back on the monthly, you can see that there are some numbers that it could pull back towards. This is the 1 year, and obviously that's a little bit more egregious. Okay, so again, like I was telling people, gold when I got above when I held 1800, that was a good deal. Above 1960, that was a good deal. That's the former high, 1960. You can see it right there, ballpark area, 1960, 1970. Obviously, that should be support if it's going to be a good market, right? That's why it bounced off 1970 today on the pullback, right? Because these are the former highs, which makes them support on a pullback. Now, again, getting above that 1985, 1990 is important, because if we start busting under 1970 now, maybe a more significant correction could be happening. So keep an eye on the gold. And I don't have time to hit the silver right now. Well, let me see. If you have questions on silver, you can obviously speak to me after the meeting. Okay, because I want to get into a couple of other things. Food. Okay, let's look at these fertilizer companies that had a good time of it and see what's going on. Because it seems to me like the agricultural markets don't know what they want to do. In other words, they look like they really want to roll over and have a big correction. On the other hand, they're staying in a range, which means maybe they're not so confident in the crops right now. If they become confident in the crops, then I think you got a different story. Now, CF Industries was a very big one for the fertilizer and stuff like that. And as you can see, it's had a big correction. Okay. Went way up here to a high of 120. And that was in August of last year. And obviously, it's been pulling back again, reversion to the mean. And you were at 76 on RSI here, and you were at 71. So you had a divergence on the high that told you exhaustion, and you're also way above the averages. So, boom. Now it's more supportive in here. Let's see if there's anything that would tell us that it might be turning back up, because it's had a big correction. Okay, getting back above purple would be the key for me. So again, and you got a gap there, so it might make a run at it. But getting back above $76 is very important for this thing. So I would watch this like a hawk. $76 or better, it might be telling you that it might be turning back up. Okay, let's take a look on the 1 year. Again, it's a reversion to the mean potential there. I mean, so 76 would be my first key that it might be doing that. So keep an eye on it, because you can see it's a pretty exciting stock. It is above 72. So that's a good sign on the monthly. Let's look at another one, which is Mosaic. And Mosaic is another one that was way up and came back down. So let's take a look and see what that looks like. All right. Now let's look at it on a long-term basis first to get a big perspective. Look at that. Now, when it gets up to 80 and the moving averages are down here, it's not if it's going to come back down, it's when. Now, the thing is the red line's pointing back down. This thing is down near 43. So on a 20-year basis, getting above green would be important. That comes in at 30, excuse me, 45. So let's get that thing above 45 and see if we have anything else that might give us a tip that it might be going back up. Yeah, then again, it's right on the purple. So again, where you're looking at here is you want it to get above 43 and stay above 43. Okay. So it's a big key number down here. And last time it dipped through, it had a nice big run. Let's see if it can hold now. Again, this red under the green, under the blue is ominous, ominous. So really, you got to get above 50 to open up the door to any of the big higher levels. So watch 50 as a real key number here to see if it's going to go. All right, let's take a look at Archer Daniels Midland, which is obviously very big in agriculture. And let's take a look at how they obviously were way up as well. Let's see what they're doing. They're right on the line too. Yeah. So they hit the line here, and it comes in right at $74, and you're at $77, and the low was $74. So it's not a coincidence. So if you're interested in this stock, I would watch it very closely here, because your risk reward is pretty, in other words, your get out point, if you were using this as a get out point, is pretty close to where it's at right now. And let's see if you got a turn up on the monthly. Not a great one. Not a great one. Like I say, the jury's still out on this stuff, but definitely it does look like it is trying to hold a pretty important number right there, as you can see. So watch this one very closely. It used to be obviously 95 to 100. So it is a 25% discount almost off the recent highs. That's not too shabby. All right. And then the last thing I'm going to hit here before we sign off is crypto. And I use GBTC. Because I don't know how to work my wallet, I guess. And this thing trades on the exchange, so at least I can get in and out without having to call Sam Fried or whatever his name is. Anyway, so again, we got a buy signal on it. And we got a buy signal down here when it crossed over. And it crossed over at about $8. So we've been confident on it at $8. It's been holding our red line. So anything around the red line, you'd be long on it. And now you're just wondering if it's going to try to make a run for that 20. And if it does, great. But where would I be concerned about it now? I would look to the one-month graph and see if anything is telling me that it might have run out of steam. Well, you got a high point here at 73, and you got a high point here at 79, and then you got a high point here at 75. So I wouldn't say it's running out of steam, but you got gaps. You know, and gaps, they tend to get filled. So there is some risk of some gaps here on the monthly. And there's some gaps on this one too. Let's see if this RSI is still making highs. You're at 71 there, and that's at 71 too. So let's see if it does make a new high and the RSI doesn't, that might be an indication as well. But you got gaps there and you're pretty extended. So this either is going to just make a run here to try to fill this gap and that gap, which is again somewhere around 18 and then 24, or it may fall under its own weight if a lot of these things with the banking crisis gets filled up. I guess subsides. Last one is Ethereum. And Ethereum, we got a signal that one was turning up at, we've got the original one here at around about $5.20, something like that. Then it came back underneath. Now it got back above it. So right now we'd want this thing to stay above the 750 neighborhood. Right. And it's at 8 and it's having trouble with the purple line. So realistically, let's close this thing above 830, 850. And if you close it above 830, 850, you have a lot of real estate that it could come in. Otherwise, this thing could also fall under its own weight. But there's a lot of potential here if it starts getting above there. So keep an eye on it. But again, be careful on a correction. All right. Now, guys, I've been trying to give you some of my honest opinions and my observations. I've been doing this for over 40 years. I think after listening for a while here, you get the idea that I keep an eye on things and I have some knowledge and experience. I've even talked about the options area, of which I've given hundreds and hundreds of seminars to thousands and thousands of people. So I'm fairly knowledgeable there as well. What you can do now is simply go to my website, optionprofessor.com, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com, singular. There's some guy out there with options professor. You know, it's always something like that, right? So it's singular, optionprofessor.com. You put your information there, contact information. We'll get in touch with you. I'll explain to you in person exactly what I could do for you. We have education I can help you with on options, strategies you're doing, strategies you've won on and lost on. I can give you my vantage point. I give you my vantage point on what timing I think is good with each strategy. And then, of course, how I would consider good ideas on the trading of the options after you're involved, how to set parameters. So I can give you a lot of information, opinions, my side of the story, my experience on how to trade those options. So it's a good resource for you there. Second thing is we have broken down by sector, different stocks in each sector that we think look good. And of course, we give you our opinion on some of the things that are working for us. So we can share our opinion there too. Finally, the best thing is you get a 1 hour one-on-one session with me where we cover your questions on options, your questions on stocks and market directions. We go over these indicators that I have, which you get to keep. And you get to use these as a reference guide in addition to the other stuff you're doing. We don't charge you every single month. We don't charge you every single year. We do it on an hourly basis. So it's very smart and it's very targeted and it's very fair. And that's a whole lot different than most of the stuff's out there because I've been in this thing a long time. I know what's out there. And so, again, we're not running up annual fees on you or monthly fees. We target it. When you need to speak to us, we have a meeting. If you don't, God bless you, you don't. Okay. So it's a very fair and set up so you can avoid all those ongoing credit card charges, you know, that automatically hit you every time on these chat rooms or courses. So again, optionprofessor.com and put your information in. We'll come around and check with you. Obviously, whether you're into the stock market or interest rates or the gold, or you want to talk about global markets, which I didn't get a chance to get into, China, Europe, you know, Latin America, Mexico has been doing great. So lots to learn and very reasonable setup. So just find out how it works. You should check it out. A lot of people who've come to these things, they should have already checked it out. And we'll give you our best shot on what we have for information. Okay. So this is the Option Professor signing off. I want to thank everybody for being here today. And again, I definitely look forward to speaking to you. There's no cost or obligation. So again, I think it's crazy not to check it out. And once you find out, you know, what it costs to get involved, you'll probably fall out of your chair compared to what you've been charged in the past. So this is a really fair, really smart way of doing it, in my view. And I think you'll find it the same way. So thanks a lot, guys. Optionprofessor.com. And we'll be talking soon. Signing off. Have a good day.